All right, man, what a blessing. Praise the Lord. Turn with me to the Gospel of John this morning, to chapter number 15. The Gospel of John and chapter number 15. I have certainly enjoyed those songs. I enjoyed singing those songs. I enjoyed hearing those songs sung this morning. They were just good. All right, let's look at John chapter number 15 this morning. I'm going to focus on one particular verse, and then we'll build our message around the context of that. But I want you to begin reading with me in John 15, verse number 1. The Bible says, these are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said in 1 Timothy 6, you're a proud man if you do not consent to the wholesome words of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have so divided your Bible up that you cannot trust the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, your mind's been messed with. Amen? And your heart. Look at John 15. The Bible says, I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. You abide in me, and my words abide in you. You shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Now, verse 11 is the verse I want to focus on today and draw from it some of the wisdom in the words and instructions of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 11 says these things. Always pay attention when he says these things. Paul uses that phrase quite often. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. I want you to notice that there is a very clear distinction made here in verse number 11 and in other verses surrounding this. He says in verse number 11, he said, these things have I spoken to you. And he says that my joy, would you look in chapter 14 and verse number 27? He said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Again, a distinction between the peace that the world can give and the peace that God can give. And verse 11, the distinction between what joy the life and the world can give compared to what Jesus can give to you concerning his joy. And you'll notice also in verse number 9, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue you in my love. So there's a distinction made here in our context that whatever the Christian life is made up of, it is absolutely supernatural. That it is not natural. It's not something that you can conjure up on your own or maintain on your own, but it has to come from above. We're talking here now about the joy of the Lord. We're talking about the love of God. Remember in 1 John, he said, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. In other words, this manner of love he's talking about is the same thing as that when Jesus was walking on the water and his men looked at him and said, what manner of man is this? They were saying, we've never seen anything like this before. This is from another world. And when you talk about, when he says my love, he's not talking about your love. Because sinners can love sinners who love them back. Sinners can give to those who will pay them back. But the Lord gives love when it's not even returned. when it's not reciprocated. Paul said to the Corinthians, the more I love you, the less I be loved. It's a supernatural love that initiates it on its own. It's not self-centered. And he talks about the peace of God. The peace of God. The peace of God is something that cannot be explained. It can only be experienced. It is something that you can feel. It is something that bears witness to your spirit. The peace of God that passes all understanding. And then he talks here about the joy. The joy. He says in verse 11, these things have I spoken to you that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. So whatever he's saying here is, he said, guys, I have selected you. I've chosen you. And I'm going to use you to be the foundation of the church. Your name will one day be in the celestial city. On the foundations of that city, all of your names will be on there. So don't think that you can duplicate who these men are. But what you can and do what they have done, they established the New Testament church. Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone, they are the foundation. There'll never ever be another group of apostles as these men were and did the things that they did to receive the truth and convey the truth and confirm the truth by their miracles. I don't have to try to be like them in what they did, but I do want some things that they had. I do want the peace of God. I do want the love of God shed abroad in my heart. And I do want the joy of the Lord to be my strength, my source, and I want to maintain that joy in my life. It doesn't mean that I don't have bad days. Bad days doesn't have to turn into bad weeks. Bad moments don't have to turn into a bad day. I want to maintain that joy. So we're talking about something here that goes beyond the natural, the circumstantial, the fleeting, and that which is based on circumstances and happenstance that comes into my life. Because the world does, just the natural world alone can produce a particular kind of joy. I'm sure there was joy in Sister Katie's heart once that little girl came forth. The Bible says that she was in labor. When that baby is born, there is joy in that mother's heart. Did you know that kind of joy can be produced in saved or lost people? Amen? And I promise you this, if you were in a group of lost or saved men, let's say 100 men, and you gave every one of them a $100,000 bonus, every one of them going to have a little joy when he walks out the door. Amen? But these are fleeting. These are things that go up and down based on circumstances and situations that happen in our lives. I'd like to have an undercurrent. I'd like to have a flow. I'd like to have something in me that doesn't fluctuate so much like the weather, if possible, in my heart and in my life. Someone said, and I came across, I thought was a good definition of the joy of the Lord. You know, it was Nehemiah said, the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. But a good definition, I think, of the joy of the Lord that's otherworldly, that's different, is because of the source, of course. But it is, can I say, an anchor of the soul and the spirit and the mind that is not easily moved by circumstances nor regulated by temporary happiness. It is grounded by faith, watered by grace, and can bear fruit in the midst of tribulation and trials and tears and trouble. The joy of the Lord. Here's a good example. I came across a true story from a pastor who said that one time he was speaking at a church as a guest speaker, and someone came up to him and slipped a note in his pocket. And he kept that note over the years. He shared it with us. And he said, a friend of mine was suffering from brain cancer and the treatments of brain cancer. His relationship with Jesus was such that the nurse on duty observing him, she wrote on her chart a a critical comment of her observations of him. She put Mr. X, I won't use his name, she said, the nurse said, this man is inappropriately joyful. Did you hear what I said? She said, there's something wrong with this guy. He's got brain cancer, he's going through treatments, and he's inappropriately joyful. The writer says, since then, says the writer of the note, it has been one of my goals to be inappropriately joyful. Because happiness and sadness is our natural response to what's going on around us. We all have that. But the joy of the Lord and the Christian joy, it is something supernatural. And because of that, you and I are going to face some of the greatest resistance. Whatever the devil cannot produce, he tries to steal. He wants to rob you of your joy. He wants to steal your peace. He wants to diminish your faith in the Lord. All of these things, he is always after us in these areas. So there's going to be trials of our faith. There's going to be diverse temptations. James said that I should count it all joy, that I've fallen into diverse temptations. I'm working on that. I'm working on that. He said, because every trial and temptation of your faith is working in you patience. And patience will mature you. Patience gives God time to work, because he never works on your time schedule, and he never, rarely ever works fast. Because time doesn't matter to God like it matters to you. Amen? He is the eternal one. He inhabits eternity. And those troubles, whenever you do face trouble, God has promised that one, that I will comfort you and I will help you. But I want you to notice with me here, in our text here, that the Lord Jesus Christ is giving us some help. Some help. Before I look in John 15 with you in our text, I have a confession to make to you this morning. You know, it seems like everybody's making confessions these days, but it seems to be disrupting the church instead of helping the church. But as a pastor, as a preacher, I have a confession. I want to be a helper of your joy. That's my confession. Romans 15, Paul prayed that the church would strive together with him to pray for him. He said that when I come to you, he said that I may come to you with joy. And he said that I may with you be refreshed. My goal and my desire and my prayer, regardless of what is going on in the background of my own personal life, that I want to be able to walk in those doors, and when you come in here and sit down, I wish not to play the hypocrite. I wish with all of my heart to be able to proclaim what is true about God, regardless of what's going on in the background in my own personal life. And I would like that my joy would be deeper than the surface of the circumstances that life brings my way. And so that when we come together, that we could be refreshed. I like that word, refreshed. I'd like for you to leave in the service, whether it be a Sunday morning or a Sunday night or a Wednesday night, and be able to say, man, I left services today refreshed. That's not going to be true for every service you attend. You know why? Because sometimes you have to be reproved. And sometimes you have to be rebuked. And when you are, you're not going to always be happy about that. But if you get right with God, you'll leave refreshed. If you receive it. Amen? And so when we start talking about that, he says that word refresh is being recharged also. You come to church to be recharged, not discouraged, and to be renewed. I'd like to, as a confession as a pastor, is I'd like for you to be able to say, my pastor does have, most of the time when I see him, joy. I would like to, that would be one of my goals as a pastor, to maintain an attitude and a disposition of joy. And not just in the pulpit, but even when we are together fellowshipping. I would want that. But also I would like it as a partner in life to my dear wife. I would like to be a promoter of joy in my home. The Bible says that I am to live joyfully with the wife whom I love. The Old Testament says that a man's responsibility is to cheer up his wife. Some of you men need to act like men. You're waiting on your wife to always be in the cheerleader, and God says, I want you to be the cheerleader. I want you to lead in the joy in your home. I'd like, and I've said this before and I mean it, I would like for her, when I was gone last week for about 7 or 8 days, I would like for her, she has on her phone this little app where she knows where my truck is or where I'm at, not my truck, where I'm at all times. And not because she doesn't trust me, it's because we try to take care of each other and look after each other. So I want her to be able to look. Saturday when I was driving back from Mississippi in this direction and she's looking on her phone, I would like for her to look at that with anticipation and not regret or discouragement. Oh man, he's almost here. However, there is a negative to having that on there because she saw how fast I was going in some of those places. And I told her, honey, I just want to hurry up and get home and see you. Amen. Where there is no law, there is no transgression. But I would like to be a partner in my with my wife, heirs of the grace of God. I wear that at home most of the time, that we could maintain some level of joy and happiness. And yes, I think that happiness is connected at times to joy. I do. Also, you know, I would like to, as a parent, express to my children on a consistent basis that the joy of the Lord is our strength and He is our source. Life is rough. Heartache, heartbreak is a part of life. Disappointments, disillusionment is a part of life and growing up. But the Bible says in the Old Testament in Psalm 127 and Psalm 128, the man that fears the Lord, the man that loves the Lord, whose heart is fixed, he said, happy is the man. And he says, happy shalt thou be. Is it possible that we could maintain some joy? So you men, regardless of your age, you ladies, regardless of your age and circumstance, whether you're married or unmarried, the Lord wants you to express something that the world cannot possess. They do not have the love of God in their hearts. They do not have the peace of God in their hearts. And they certainly do not have the joy of the Lord. And I want you to notice here in our text, let's look at this, all right? I'm going to give you some practical things that will help you with this. But I want to show you what the words of our Savior are to me and to you. Very simple. John 15, he says in verse number 4, I want you to abide in me. Abide in me, verse number 4. Verse number 6, if a man abide not. Verse 7, if you abide in me. What does that mean? Well, people have various opinions of this. But I will say this, I try to take a word in the Bible and follow it other places where maybe it gives a description or define the word abide, because you can look at Merriam-Webster dictionary, you can look at 1828 dictionary, you can look in the Greek, if you have a Greek dictionary, and it seems like sometimes people have various opinions of even the same words. I like to look up synonyms of words. I like to look up antonyms of words to help me to understand what is exactly does that mean. And the Holy Spirit reminded me of something. You remember when Paul was in Acts 27 when he was in a ship and that ship was going through a storm? And they were fixing to, basically they were fixing to kill all the prisoners. They're going to throw them overboard and kill them. And you know what Paul said? He said to that captain, he said, except you abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. And when I looked at that and I said, Lord, when I see that, it means that I am going to commit myself to stay in the ship, and I'm going to forsake all other ways of saving myself, and I'm going to trust that the ship will do what it's designed to do. And so when I abide in Christ, I am saying to Him, I trust You. I believe in You. I'm going to stay as close to You as I possibly can. I'm going to follow You. I'm going to obey You. That, my friend, is abiding in Christ. And when you talk about abiding in Christ, He says, if you'll abide in Me, said that several times, it's taking His yoke upon you. I ask you this morning, have you ever been saved? Have you been born again? And if you have been, then it's possible then for you to abide in Christ, for you to stay close to Him at all times, for Him to be the preeminent one in your life, for Him to be your Lord, your Savior, your Master, your guide in all things in your life. All right? Then notice with me in verse number 5. Okay, I've made the decision that if I, because men let me down, I let myself down. And I can lose my joy in those areas. But Christ will never let me down. Seriously, He will not. All right, but look in verse number 5. Not only must I abide in Him, but you'll notice in verse number 5 there's a very sobering statement. He said, I'm the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in Me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. He said, for without Me you can do nothing. Now Paul said, I can do all things through Christ, but without Him I can do nothing. You know what I have to do here to maintain my joy is not only staying focused upon the Lord Jesus and looking unto Him as my Savior, my High Priest, my Mediator, the propitiation for my sins, and my Advocate when I fail. I mean, He's got all the bases covered of everything that I need in my life, my High Priest. But I have to accept my limitations here in verse number 5. For without Me, you can do nothing. Without Me, you can do nothing. He didn't say, without Me, you can do a little bit. I'm talking about being fruitful. Now, we're talking about expressing the love of God. We're talking about having the peace of God that the world cannot give. And we're talking here now about having the joy of the Lord. Without Him, you won't be able to have neither of these on a regular basis. That you express the love of God, that you express the joy of the Lord, because there's just going to be too many things around you that are pulling at you. The world, the flesh, and the devil. And He says, I need you to know you're too weak for this. Can you accept that? Can you accept the fact that the Jesus Christ is saying, you can't do this. I have to do this through you. That's a humbling thing. And yet some of you, you beat your heads against the ground. You try each day without Him. How's it working? Probably a lack of peace. Probably not much love expressed. And probably very little joy. But I got news for you. God will help you if you'll listen today. Accept your limitations. You can't do this. You say, boy, I sure wish I could be like so-and-so. Well, how do you think so-and-so is like he is? Do you think he did that on his own? Do you think that is just his self-discipline? Or do you think that God is doing something in him and for him? Amen. Do you understand? The Lord will help you. Now notice something else here. He says here in verse number 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you're going to have to, by the grace of God, apply his word to your life. You're going to have to admit that you're weak. Now you're going to have to take the Bible. Listen, 1 John chapter number 1. Remember that? He said, these things have I written unto you, that your joy may be full. That book is going to tell you how to have joy and maintain that joy. So you need to read it. It says, I have written. He didn't say, I left it on a tape for you to listen to. But that's okay. I'm not against that. But he did say, I want you to read what I wrote. I want you to hide it in your heart, because that's how it abides in you. It's given to you to abide in you and to apply. When Jesus said, let my words abide in you, do you realize these guys were not given a copy of what he just said when he said that? So they had to listen real good to what Jesus said and let those words sink into his heart. Some of you, maybe you have a difficult time reading. Maybe you feel like you don't read very well. Did you know you could come to church and really, really develop your hearing and really listen and really receive what's being said? Hide it down in your heart. There are times of when you're going to remember, I remember what the preacher said. I remember what he said the Bible said. And the Holy Ghost will call those things up because you've let that sink down into your heart. The joy of the Lord is your strength. But also, he also said this. Now listen to this. Now you've got to abide in him. Commit yourself to him this morning. Renew your focus upon him. Accept your limitations. You can't do this by yourself. All right? Then you apply the word of God into your life. All right? And now you ask him some things. Look in verse number 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Don't you think that after you've let God's word abide in you, that you'll start asking for the things that please the Lord? Because now you know what pleases him, and you're no longer asking amiss. You're no longer asking just so that you can get, but you're also asking that you might be able to give. And so he says, you can ask. We have not because we ask not. Look over in John 16. Look at this. Prayer is a key to maintaining your joy. Okay, listen carefully now. Look at John 16:24. John 16:24. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive. Why does the Lord Jesus want you to ask him? He says that your joy may be what? Full. So you got to think about it. If you're in misery today, you lack peace, you're miserable inside, you just feel selfish and you just don't like yourself right now because you know that you are and you're hearing some misery inside, because when there is no peace, it's just hard to enjoy church or anything else. And you have no joy, and you have to ask yourself why, and you get tired of it. The Lord says, I need you to refocus on your relationship with me. I need you to accept your limitations. You can't do this by yourself. You can buy 10 self-help books on 10 things of how to do this, but you're going to need Jesus Christ. A relationship with Jesus Christ. Some of you want peace without Jesus. And you want the benefits without him. He wants a relationship with you, and then come the benefits of that. And he says, I want you to talk to me. I want you to come and talk to me. Pour your heart out to me. Tell me what's troubling you. All right, I want to come back here for just a moment, but I need you to quickly turn to Colossians chapter number 1, please. Colossians chapter number 1, I need you to see this. Here's the same principles by the Apostle Paul in what Jesus was talking about. Look at this. Look in Colossians chapter number 1. Colossians chapter number 1. I love the book of Colossians. I do. Colossians chapter number 1. Look in verse number 9. Here's where Paul is talking about prayer. He's talking about prayer here. And he's talking about joy. And he's talking about Jesus. Look in chapter 1, verse 9. He says, "For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it," he's talking about your profession of faith, your salvation, "do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will." Now that's the same thing as allowing the Word of God to abide in you, and you begin to apply what the Bible actually says. That's the knowledge of His will. That's knowing what to do. And then he says, "in all wisdom." That's how to do it. Spiritual understanding. That's why we're doing it. Verse 10, "that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful." There is what Jesus said over and over. You cannot bear fruit unless you abide in me. Being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. All right, now look in verse 11. "Strengthened with all might." Boy, that's what I need, is strength. "According to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness." So as you begin to abide in Him, and you begin to apply the Word of God in your life, and the world begins to resist some things in you and against you, and the devil does, you know what it's going to require of you? You know, if you had more patience, you'd have more joy, right? "With my patience, I would..." You know, people can be patient and be miserable at the same time. And they can make you miserable while they're waiting and being patient. "Well, I'm just waiting on the Lord. I wish He'd hurry up." Like David, "answer me speedily." And long-suffering. "Yeah, I'm going to put up with them, but I don't like them." Long-suffering. Patient with people, long-suffering with people, but can you do it with joy? I can't. Jesus told me I couldn't. Now I'm more patient with people that I like. But what about the people I don't like? You say, "Well, preacher, you're supposed to like everybody." I don't. I don't. But I can love people I don't like if God gives me the grace. And I can be patient with people that I don't like if God gives me the grace. And I can even have joy around people that I don't like if God will do this through me. You understand? God can give me this. And so the scripture here says that and you know what he's doing here now? Look what he says in verse number 12. Well, I hope you see this. "Giving thanks unto the Father." See, here's the focus here. "Which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son." The focus is back on Jesus, "in whom we have redemption through his blood, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature." My focus now is back on the Lord Jesus Christ. It creates an attitude of gratitude in me, and I have some strength that I normally do not have. I want you to go back to John with me for just a moment, and I'm almost done, okay? Look in John 16. I want to help you in a practical manner. I do. I'm looking at the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's talking to his men before he goes to the cross. He knows what they are facing. He knows what they are going to be going through. And he knows that what they need is him. And he knows that they're going to need peace. And he said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you." And he said, "Continue ye in my love." Because by love, he said, "by this shall all men know you are my disciples." And verse 11, he said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, And over in chapter number 16, he reminded them that they're going to go through a sad spot. They're going to come up out of it. And he said, your heart is going to rejoice. And he said, your joy no man taketh from you. And he said, you come and talk to me. And he said, and you ask me some things. And he said, and I will answer them. Boy, I tell you, it's a wonderful thing when God hears your voice and answers prayers. It truly is. But I want you to notice something here in our text. It's over in John 16, I believe it is. No, it's chapter 15 and verse number 16. There it is, right there. Forgive me. It's chapter 16, verse 32. Chapter 16, verse number 32. Jesus said, behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. The Bible says in Hebrews 12 that Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. I want you to remember this principle here, because your joy most of the time is lost because of relationships and what other people have done to you, will do to you, and what you have done to them and even to yourself. And verse number 32, Jesus says, when others are gone in my life, he said, I am still not alone. You've got to get a hold of this. People are going to let you down. Paul said, Demas has forsaken me. Judas betrayed him. Peter denied him. Words and letters and failures of other people and relationships can break your heart and rob you of your joy. Cindy and I have been married 49 years. It would break my heart to nth degree if she told me tomorrow, I've had it, and she walked away. That would almost kill me. It would. And there are some of you who've experienced heartache by the words and the actions of those with whom you've let inside your inner circle that can get to your heart and to your mind and your spirit. And it is in some of those circumstances that you find, who do you love the most? Sometimes you don't know until you tested and tried who you really love the most. Do you love the Lord? Do you love your family more than you love the Lord? Do you love your job more than you love the Lord? Do you love your money and your possessions? I don't know this, but I know one thing. The devil and the Lord had a conversation about this with Job. And they almost, and I'm not saying this irreverently, but it was like the Lord was saying, oh, I'm betting on Job that his faith will not fail. And the devil is saying, I believe he will, and I believe he'll turn his back on you, and I believe he'll curse you to your face. He said, just let me at him. So he took his family. He had family loss. Let's just say he had family loss. You agree? Had family loss. That's terrible. He not only had one casket, he had, I think, seven caskets across the front. How about that? And those were children he had prayed for. And they were in the ground. And then the devil came back and said, well, you won that round, but let's go round number two. Let me touch his body. Or his finances. Let me touch his finances. So everything fell apart. Broke the next day. You'd be surprised how many of you, your attitude and your spirit goes up and down based how much money you've got in the bank. I'm not saying it's happy to be broke. But I am saying that if you are broke, that there is a source of joy that money cannot buy. Paul said, I know I know, and I'm paraphrasing what he said, I know how to be full and I know how to be empty. I know how to be broke and I know how to have more than enough. But I find my contentment in Christ. This all sounds philosophical, but it's not. It's practical. It will work. And so, you know what Job said? The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now listen, Job was a unique situation. No matter what's going on in your life, you're not Job. But you can learn some things from Job. And Job got bitter for a little while. He did. But then Satan said, well, let me add his health. It don't matter sometimes how good a family you got or how much money you got. If you have bad health, it's hard to enjoy the other two things. He said, if you'll just move that hedge, let me get at his body. There he is. You see him laying in ashes, and he's got sores, pus running all over him. He is just eat up with sores. And his wife even said, why don't you just curse God and die? But he refused. And the devil's counting on him to deny God. And God is counting on him to not turn his back on him, but to trust him when he could not comprehend and understand him. You and I have not faced anything near that. But the Lord Jesus warned his men that you will face some things. And I need you to depend upon me and look to me and trust me. Of when people hurt you, most people fall out of church, not over doctrine, but over relationships and sin in their own life and failure. And what I need you to see here is Jesus said, look with me in verse number 32 again, and I'm almost done. I just need to remind you of a couple of things here. Behold, the hour cometh, the yea is now come, that you shall be scattered. Well, that's not encouraging. Every man to his own, and you shall leave me alone. He's looking at them and said, when you're gone, I still will not be alone. I need you to believe that, teenager. And if all your friends choose not to go the route you're wanting to go, and you feel alone, you're not alone. You may feel alone sometimes, even in a marriage of where that only one person wants to live for God. You may feel alone, but you are not alone. And I want to encourage you to do something this morning, to abide in Christ. I need you to do some things, practice some things about abiding in Him. I've said these before, but the Holy Ghost told me to remind you. Some of you are not here when we discussed it. It is very, 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 very difficult for the church to restore in you what you choose to neglect. You need to give God, number one, the first part of the day. This can determine so much of how we handle the rest of the day. It helps you to remember what was spoken in church and to read what has been spoken in your Bible or listen to it in preaching on in your truck. If you're driving to work, if you've got 45 minutes, 30 minutes on the way to work, give God that first 30 or 45 minutes. Listen to the Word of God. Talk to God while you're listening to it like He's sitting in the truck beside you. Talk to Him. Give Him the first part of the day. The manna will melt quickly in the mornings. You must get up and get it. You say, yeah, but if you didn't get the manna early, and you came out and said, God, please give me some manna, I missed it this morning, God said, nope, I'll see you tomorrow. You want to abide in Him. You want the joy of the Lord. You want the peace of God. You must do it on His terms. It is abiding in Him. It is give Him the first part of the day, give Him the first day of the week. I very seriously doubt any of us in here can maintain the love of God, keeping ourselves in the love of God, maintaining the joy of the Lord, and having the peace of God. If we cannot even give God some time in the morning, and we cannot even give God the first day of the week being in the house of the Lord, you're not serious about it. You're not serious about it. The problem is that it's going to impact you, and then you're going to impact those around you. I don't think I could be a good partner if I didn't stay in the house of God, stay in the love of God. I just don't think I could be. I don't think I could be a good father to my children and encourage them in the things of God if I did not stay close to God. Give Him the first part of every major decision that you make. Quit walking in your own ways and wisdom. Ask God for wisdom. And don't ask Him for wisdom in every decision if you can't give Him the first part of each day and the first day of each week. I encourage you this morning, if or when you fail and you sin against the Lord, let not your faith fail. We struggle with faithfulness to Him, but He has no problem being faithful to us. John said, I wrote these things that your joy may be full. And in that same chapter, he said, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm asking you this morning, how's your joy? Where is it? What's the level of it? And what is your source of it? Is it the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you abiding in Him? Are you acknowledging that you can't do this on your own? Will you humble yourself before Him and admit it? I can't do this on my own. By the way, He's waiting to hear those words. He knows that. You need to know that. And then you ask Him. Talk to Him. Pour your heart out to Him. Put yourself in a position to where that you can keep your joy full. Let's pray for just a moment, please. Let's stand together. I sure would like for East River Baptist Church collectively to be a place of where that I walk in, it's a place of joy, rejoicing in the things of God, regardless of what's going on out there in the world. The only way that can happen would be if we as children of God abide in Him and His words abide in us, and that our joy may be full. It's His will for you to have fullness of joy. Father in heaven, please help these dear saints to believe the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord, they might come in their own hearts, even now, if they don't come to the altar, Lord, may they there in their chair yield their hearts back to You and say, Father, please forgive me for ignoring my Savior. I cannot live this life without You. Forgive me and help me by Your grace. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Revive my heart and spirit that I might rejoice in Thee. I pray Your will be done, in Christ's name.